service, and we're excited to be part of their ministry. So, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. I'm glad to be with you all this morning. It's a great honor and privilege for Leandra and I to be back. And, of course, this church has special memories for us as well, for Leandra growing up, but also for both of us as we were married in this church. So that's wonderful memories to be back here. So we truly appreciate it. And as Pastor said, we wish we were back under different circumstances, but we know the Lord has a plan and purpose. So we thank the Lord for the child He has given us. We have named it Hope Elizabeth. And we know we only have this short time with it, and the Lord will take it to heaven when it's born. But it's a blessing as believers that we have that hope of heaven and eternity with the Lord. And I can't imagine going through life without the Lord. And it's not easy, but God gives grace day by day. So we're so thankful to the Lord for that, and especially for the prayers of God's people. We can definitely sense and we know God's people are praying for us. So thank you for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, and I'll give an update on the ministry and Sunday school. Pastor asked me to do that, but I'll share a few things about the ministry as illustrations in the message as we look at God's word this morning. But Matthew chapter 11, and I'll begin reading in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The word of God says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the blessing and privilege of being with your people. Thank you for the prayers and support of your people. Thank you for their support for your work in Papua New Guinea. Lord, we just pray as we look into your word this morning that you would use your word to strengthen us, to encourage us, to draw us closer to you. Lord, may each and every one of us grow in our Christian lives. I pray that I be a clean vessel that you can use for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, look with me again at verse number 28. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord Jesus Christ is telling people to come to him. You know, we see today, especially with COVID and so many things happening in our country, election time, so many things, there are so many people that are worried, so many people that are concerned about things, so many people in great distress. What's going to happen? What are we going to do? What if I get COVID? What if someone in my family gets COVID? But God tells us to come to him. The first thing we see this morning is Christ tells us to come to him. That is the only place we can find rest and peace. Is in Christ, because God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The things around us change, circumstances change, things in this world change, but God never changes. And we come to Christ, we have that guarantee of the promises of the Word of God. Christ tells us to come to Him. Obviously, the first thing to come to Christ was just as Pastor shared in the missions update this morning. Praise the Lord for those two people that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior in the English camps. What did they do? They came to Christ. They accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Just like it says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The first thing everyone must do in their life is come to Christ. That's for salvation. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I trust most of us, all of us, have done that in our lives. We've all come to Christ. We've all asked the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to forgive us of our sins and accepted His free gift of salvation. But then as we go through our Christian life, there's times where we have to come to Christ for rest, for peace, for guidance, for direction, for wisdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples and the people, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The rest we find in Christ isn't the rest that the world offers. You know, people think they can find rest in wealth, in money, in security, in their work, in their job. But that's not true rest. That's not true peace. True rest and peace is found in Christ. It's not found in what we do, but in the person of Christ. It's found in what God gives us. Look with me just real quick back in the book of Joshua. chapter 24 and verse number 13. Just here, as Joshua was reflecting, he was giving his last words to the children of Israel, but he was talking about what God gave the children of Israel. Remember when they were in Egypt, they had no rest. They had the Egyptian taskmasters were overseeing them. They were under hard bondage, miserable lives. But when you look in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 13, the Lord says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, and of vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you now eat. You know what the children of Israel got in the promised land? God gave that to them. They didn't build the cities, they didn't plant the gardens, they didn't plant the vineyards, but God gave it to them. And everything that we have in the Christian life, God gives it to us. It's not because of who we are, but it's because of Christ, because of God. God gives us peace and rest. It only comes through God. As I think back to the work in Papua New Guinea too, I'm sure you heard some of it from our prayer letters, but there was the first church plant was in Segifa, but the second church plant we're involved in now was the village of Kapabu. And Kapabu was split by civil war. So as we would go to church and minister to the people in the village on Sunday, they'd tell us about the village the next mountain over, Kapabu, that was split by war. Remember one time we got there and they said, yeah, they said yesterday they just fought again. They said it was really bad. And they told about, you know, just how they fought with guns, but they ran out of bullets, and they fought with their bows and arrows, and they ran out of arrows. And they said, yeah, and then after that, they just cut people up with the machetes. It was just a brutal fight there. And we heard about that, and we were praying for the Lord to give us an opportunity to be able to go into the village and share the gospel with them. But, you know, a situation like that, sometimes it's easy to get a foothold in, sometimes it's difficult. And so we really prayed, and you'll hear more about it in our update video, but the Lord gave us the opportunity to be able to go into the village and share the gospel. But as the Lord began to work in people's hearts and lives, we were able to preach to both sides, the part of the village that was there right on the mountain behind us, and then the part of the village, the refugees that had to flee away. And as we were there ministering to them, there were many, many stressful situations, many very tense moments there. And for those people, what did they need to give them peace? Could they find peace in and of themselves? They had to come to who? Come to Christ. And every single week as we preach the gospel there in the village, preach the gospel to the refugees about an hour and a half away from the village, we could see the gospel slowly working in their lives. Slowly the gospel breaking down those feelings of hatred, those feelings of revenge. Slowly the gospel is doing. Because the people were coming to who? Coming to Christ. And the government for years had tried to help them. But the government couldn't bring peace because only God can give peace. The government had tried many, many times before to bring peace. But the government made very many empty promises, promises they couldn't fulfill, promises they couldn't keep. But peace was only possible through Christ. The first thing Christ says is, come unto me. Who does he say to come unto him? He says, everyone that labors and is heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That means those that have troubles, those that have hardships in their life, those whose things just haven't worked out as they planned in their life. I don't think anyone planned for COVID to hit this year. I don't think anyone planned for that at all. Was that a trial? That was a great trial. You know, we've known some people that have lost loved ones through COVID. Some people it really hasn't affected at all. For us in Papua New Guinea, COVID really didn't make that big of a difference. It's awful hard to lock people in a grass hut. So the government said there was a 2-week lockdown. They said everyone, no one's allowed to leave the village. Everyone has to stay put. Don't move. Well, the problem was by the time it got from the capital to where we were and then even farther back in the bush, there was such a delay in communication. By the time it finally reached everyone, the lockdown was over. And people were pouring into town trying to get supplies. And everyone was like, what are you doing here? And they said, oh, we heard there's going to be a lockdown. And they said, the lockdown's already over. Go back. So it's just crazy. But it really didn't affect us too much in Papua New Guinea. We only had one death that we know of due to COVID when we were there. So that was definitely God's mercy. But it is definitely real, and it's affected a lot of people around the world. We never would have thought it would have shut the world down. But COVID literally has locked the world down. It was very difficult to get flights out of Papua New Guinea trying to come back. But it's something that's real. And in the midst of that, Christ can give us what? rest and peace. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those are situations that are beyond our control, situations we can't control in our lives. Those things that are beyond us, Christ can give us rest in. Christ can give us peace in. But we first and foremost, we have to come to him. If we don't come to Christ for salvation, he's not going to be able to give us rest. As we know Christ, as we've gotten saved, if we don't come to Christ and ask him for strength, we're not going to experience it. If we don't yield to Christ, we're not going to have his rest and peace. He promises at the end of verse 28, he says, and I will give you, and what's that last word? Rest. It's God's promise to us. Look at the book of Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 17. This is a verse many times I've thought about, but let me just read it and then I'll explain it. It says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. God's rest and God's peace is something the world can't imagine, something the world can't describe. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. And he said, the work of righteousness shall be peace. If people are righteous, if they serve God, do they have peace? Sure, they have peace. They have peace in their lives. That doesn't mean peace in all their circumstances, but it means peace in their lives. As that village began to turn to Christ, they found peace. Then in that verse says, the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. As believers, as we have Christ's true righteousness within our hearts and our lives, we have quietness, we have assurance, absolute confidence in the promises of God. That's something only found in God. But in and of ourselves, we can't be righteous. We only have righteousness and peace through Christ. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are good. None of us are good enough to go to heaven in of our own strength. I should have spent an eternity in hell, but because of God's grace and mercy in my life, I was able to get saved and know God and love God and serve God with my life. The second thing I want us to see this morning, look in verse number 29. The Lord Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn in me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. The Lord Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. For us as believers, God wants us to submit to him. All of us want to resist the devil. But if we don't first submit to God, we cannot resist the devil in our lives. If there's not first submission to God, we have no strength to resist the devil. Look with me in the book of James, a well-known verse, but James chapter 4 and verses 7 through 8. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse number 7 says, first, submit to God. Second, resist the devil. Oftentimes, as Christians, we have the order backwards. We want to resist the devil, but we don't want to submit to God. We tell God, okay, if this trial or this hardship passes in my life, okay, then I'll do this for you. But that's not the way it works. God wants us to submit first to him, and then he'll give us the strength to resist the devil. And there's all kinds of different things in our lives, different experiences. You know, what you might experience on a day-to-day might be totally different than what I experienced in Papua New Guinea. But still, the Lord wants us to submit him, to obey him, to follow him, to love him, to serve him with all of our hearts. You know, there's many things God wants each and every one of us to do each and every day. God wants us to pray. God wants us to read his word. That's an area of submission. That's yielding time to God each and every day. God wants us to be in his word. If we're not in his word, we're not going to grow spiritually. Just as we eat physically, we need to eat spiritually. Okay, God wants us to witness to others. Is that an area of submission? Sure it is. For some people, it's very easy to witness to others. For some people, it's very hard to witness to others. For some people, it's easy to give a gospel tract. For some people, it's hard to give a gospel tract. But God wants us to be a witness for him. You know, I can remember times in my life where I was terrified to give someone a gospel tract. Was that a struggle for me to submit to God? Sure it was. But God wants us to submit to him in each and every area of our life.
You know, as Pastor mentioned, the Lord's been really blessed the church here, and the giving and everything has remained strong through COVID. How did that happen? That happened because people submitted to God, because they obeyed God, because they still, even though they didn't know what would happen in the economy, they still, by faith, gave their tithe and offerings to God. That's what God wants from us, submission. God wants us to follow him. God wants us to obey him. I think of a young man in Papua New Guinea. His name is Wilbert. He attends the Bible College. We have 60 students at Goroka Baptist Bible College. And Wilbert is a young man. He's training as a Christian school teacher. And a very healthy young man, very strong, very active. One school break, he went back to his village, and I really missed him because Wilbur was a great help and blessing in the outreach. When I go to Kapabu, he'd hike with me every Sunday to make it into the village. When we were working on the bridge to be able to get road access to the village, he was helping me. He'd help me in the Bible clubs. And so I waited excitedly for Wilbur to get back and continue to help me in the ministry. And he came back, and he was limping really bad. And I said, Wilbert, I said, what did you do? What happened? And he said, well, he said, Tim, I was back in the village, and he said I had a bicycle accident. And he said, I don't think I'll ever be able to walk normal again. And sure enough, when he had his accident, he split his kneecap. And he can't, there's no options there for surgery or those kind of things. So when he got back to, you know, closer out of his village area, he was able to get an x-ray that showed what, you know, everybody knew. His kneecap was totally destroyed. But no opportunity for him to have surgery. And I thought, wow, I thought, you know, I don't know what Wilbur's going to do now. I sure don't think he'll be able to probably hike and walk and those kind of things. And so I talked to him, and I said, you know, prayed with him, tried to encourage him and strengthen him. And I was going to Kapabu, and Wilbert said, you know, there was plenty of other young guys that could go with me to Kapabu. And whenever I go out on ministry, I always take one of the students to go with me, you know, just to try to encourage them and disciple them. And that particular day, none of the other young guys were going. Wilbert said, I'll go with you. I said, Wilbert, how are you going to go with me? You can't even walk from, you know, the classroom to the boys' dorm. He said, Tim, he said, I'm going. And sure enough, true to his word, he went with me. And, you know, he just barely walked. We were trying to go up the mountain. I watched. He fell down the mountain. He got up again, but he went. Was that submitting to God? Sure it was. He said, God has called me to serve him. He said, I'm not going to quit. And it just was heartbreaking to me. But he was committed to following God. Was it easy? It wasn't easy. It was hard for Wilbert, but he had that passion, that desire to serve God. And God calls each and every one of us to submit to him, to follow him, to yield to him. And as we submit to God, God will give us the strength to resist the devil. God will give us the spiritual victories in our lives. The Lord Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. The Lord Jesus wants us to learn of him, learn from him. Psalms chapter 119, 9 through 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do we grow in our Christian lives? It's through God and it's through his word. There's no other shortcut in the Christian lives. There's many, many study house, many devotional books, and they're a great help and blessing to us. It's in all kinds of study books, there's a wealth of the wisdom of Christians of the ages in them. They're a great help to us. But we still have to read God's word. We have to learn of Christ. As we learn of Christ, we'll submit to him. As we learn of Christ, we'll grow. As we learn of Christ, our lives will be transformed. I remember one of the Bible clubs there in Papua New Guinea, the Lord's given us the opportunity to be in 5 public schools now in Papua New Guinea. So that's been just a recent door in the last couple years the Lord has opened. But one particular school has given us the opportunity to be in their school twice. Every Tuesday and every Thursday morning we're in their school. And most of the schools there, they only give us the opportunity to be in their schools once a week. But this particular school has given us the opportunity to be there twice a week. So twice a week, the students are hearing God's word. They hear a Bible lesson. After that, they have a Bible quiz. They have memory verses. And one of the head teachers came up to me one day, and she said, Tim, she said, our school has been transformed. Our school has been changed. And she said, God's word twice a week in our school has just changed our school. Was that because of us? No, it was because of God's word. Christ says, learn of me. As we learn his word changes our lives. His word changes our hearts. And the kids, you'll see in the video during Sunday school, but the kids would be just packed shoulder to shoulder. It'd be about 500 kids. We'd have the 5th and 6th grade would be standing over here. The 3rd and 4th grade over here. 7th and 8th grade over there. Just packed shoulder to shoulder. I mean, you couldn't believe it. We do Bible quizzes. We'd have 3 or 4 people giving Bible quizzes at the same time, just breaking them into groups. But God's word changed their lives. God's word will help us grow in our Christian lives. None of us arrive spiritually. Until we're in heaven, until we're with Christ, we still need to grow in our Christian lives. Every day, the Lord helps me to grow, teaches me new things, strengthens me in my Christian life. And when we stop learning of Christ, we stop growing in our Christian lives. As you think about for the children of Israel, you know, as you study the Old Testament, you see a pattern. As they study God's word, as they knew God's word, as God gave them judges afterward, as God gave them kings, if it was a judge or a king that had a heart for God and a heart for his word, the children of Israel grew. They submitted to God. They were able to resist the devil. But when they had a king or a judge that didn't know God, that wanted to serve idols, in their Christian life, they took a nosedive. They left God. They forsook God. The first thing Christ wants us to do, come to him. The second thing, take his yoke upon us. Okay, look now at verse number 30. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Does that sound like the Christian life a lot of Christians talk about? Do they talk about how easy the Christian life is? I don't know if I ever met a Christian that said the Christian life is easy. The Christian life isn't easy. There's many trials, many hardships, many struggles to serve Christ. But when we carry those struggles in our own strength, it's very difficult. But as we first come to Christ, then we take his yoke upon us, he will give us rest and peace because he's carrying it. He's strengthening us. I'm sure we've all seen the illustration or heard the story of the footprints in the sand. When there was 2 sets of footprints, but during the hard times, there was only 1 footprint. And they asked, why, Lord, did you forsake me during the most difficult times? What did the Lord say? That was when I carried you. And that's how we have rest and peace in the Christian life. As the Lord carries us, as the Lord strengthens us. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Who does the Lord keep in perfect peace? Those whose heart and mind is stayed on him. Those whose heart and mind is fixed on Christ. God keeps us in perfect peace. The book of Philippians chapter 4 says that it's a perfect peace that passes all understanding. There's trials, there's struggles in our lives. I remember one time in Papua New Guinea, you know, there's so many things going on. Because we have the 2 church plants, we have the Bible college with 60 students, and then we have the Bible clubs in 5 schools, so we're always busy. And there's not a lot of margin. If something goes wrong, there's not a lot of extra time. And there's one veteran missionary we work with, Bill and Lori Smith, and then there's been a couple other missionary families that have come since that have been a help. But at one point, we really needed some extra help. And whenever something broke or died, you know, like generator or water pump or something with the building maintenance, there just was not the margin to take care of it. So I was so excited. One time, there was a fellow who's going to be able to help us with some of that. And so I was so grateful. I was like, finally, you know, we'll be able to get some help on some of these things. And so he was there. I was talking to him. And he said to me, like, right off the bat, I mean, hardly got to even know him. He said, well, he said, I don't do electrical things. Well, I thought, you know, that's no problem. You know, there's plenty of other things to do. So we talked a little more and started showing some other things. He said, well, I don't do anything with plumbing either. I thought, oh, no, this isn't good. He said, no, he said, I really don't want to do anything with plumbing. So I was like, all right, well, there's plenty of work to get to do. So I showed him some other things. He said, well, he said, I won't be starting before 8 in the morning. He said, and you surely won't see me after 4:30. I was like, oh, no, I just about lost it. If he wasn't twice my size, I might have hit him. But anyway, do you think I felt very much peace or rest in my life at that time? Not a chance. Not even at all. But as I yielded to Christ, as I gave it to the Lord, what did God give me? Peace. God gave me peace. And I'm sure we've all had situations in our life, situations that were beyond our control, situations that just made us upset. But in those situations, as we yield to Christ, we don't yield to our own desires, our own thoughts, but we yield to Christ. Christ will give us rest. Christ will give us peace. The Lord Jesus promises peace and rest in our lives. You know, I remember one time there in the village of Kapabu, it was at the very end after we'd gone through many of the peace mediation meetings, many of the different things. We were at the end. We had just seen what we thought would be, peace was going to happen. We thought everything was coming together for that. The government wanted to step in too because they wanted to get the credit for what happened at the end. So the government was there. And it's a parliamentary kind of government. So they have members of parliament. So the member of parliament was there. And it was very stressful time at that point because the village people were very angry at the government because they had promised so many things and they never did it. They promised, they were going to fix the road. They never fixed the road. They promised they were going to bring, food and clothing, those kind of things. They never did it. They promised that they were going to give them, axes and things to work in their garden, sprayers, those kind of things. They never gave them anything. And so this was like the big day where the government promised, we're going to do everything. And the government showed up, and I think they might have spent, I don't even know, maybe $500. I mean, it was pathetic. They didn't anything for the people. I mean, it was terrible. And so the people were furious. The government official arrived in his truck, and typically when, a government official arrives, everyone's cheering and, shouting, and they go and they greet him. Nobody went and greeted him. So he sat over there on his truck. All the people sat on the other side. Extremely stressful. I had no idea what was going to happen. I didn't know if they were going to start fighting again. Then the people said, they said, you know what we're going to do to him? Because I was sitting with them, and I could hear everything. They said, we're going to tear the bridge up. And this was, if you'd seen in our prayer letters, you'll see in the video, but the bridge we built to be able to get in. Well, I was like, that's great. You'll tear the bridge up, and then I can't get out either. He'll be stuck here, but I will be too. But just very stressful situation. And I didn't know what was going to happen next. And we waited a while, and then the government leader said, the little bit of stuff we brought, basically I'll just take it back and leave. Well, they didn't want that to happen. So then they pretended, they were half happy with him. A few people came over, shook his hand. Then he gave him, just a few. It was basically a couple pots and pans and those kind of things. Gave them to the people, and then he left. But in the midst of that situation, I could sense such a peace in my life. And who did that peace come from? God. It came from God. It was totally out of my control. When that day ended too, so disappointed. I mean, what could have been such a great day in the village of, bringing peace and everything coming together was just totally wasted. But we saw the Lord do it after that. What only God could do. Okay, Matthew chapter 11, the Lord Jesus, verse 28 says, "Come unto me." Verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Verse number 30, he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Turn with me to the book of Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. And verses 3 through 5. Psalm chapter 37, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Have you in your life, have you come to Christ? Have you trusted the Lord as your Savior? If you haven't, there's no better day than today to trust Christ as your Savior. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, as hardships, as struggles, as difficulties come in your life, who do you go to? Who do you turn to? Do you come to Christ for strength? The second thing, are we taking Christ's yoke upon us? Are we submitting to God?
Are we obeying God? Are we obeying His word? As we come to Christ, as we submit to God, God will give us rest. God will give us peace in our lives. Psalm 37 says to trust in the Lord in verse 3. Verse 4 says to delight ourselves in the Lord. Verse 5 says to commit our way unto the Lord. As we do those things, what does the Lord do for us? Verse 3 says, we shall dwell in the land and we'll be fed. Verse 4 says that He'll give us the desires of our heart. Verse, the end of verse 5 says that He shall bring it to pass as we trust in Him. In the Christian life, so much of doing our part is ultimately yielding to God. Oftentimes in the Christian life, we think we can get there, we can arrive by our strength or by what we do or by our righteousness. But it's really, as we grow in the Christian life, it's yielding to God and letting God work in our lives. It's not how much we have of God, but how much God has of us. How much of our lives does God have? And as we yield to God, as we submit to God, then God is faithful to work in our hearts and our lives. The Lord Jesus promises He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's a promise from God's word. That's the promise that God gives to us. You know, there's many things I could share about in Papua New Guinea, many things in Leander in my life. You remember, I think I'm not sure if we were here in 2017 and I was really sick with my stomach, but I think we were here right before the birth of Levi. I'm pretty sure we were back here for that. And, you know, that was a great struggle in our lives because, you know, my health is really, really bad. I was down to like 125 pounds or something. I was so sick. And we didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. But as we came back, as we submitted to God, we're able to see doctors. The Lord showed, you know, I was allergic to nightshades, which are tomatoes, potatoes. Changed my diet, and I was fine ever since then. But I didn't actually figure that out here when I was in the States. We came back, we saw the doctors. The doctors basically said, you know, they said, we don't know what to tell you. They said, don't go back to Papua New Guinea. It must be something in Papua New Guinea. I even had other Christians tell me that. They said, you know, it must be something in Papua New Guinea. You know, just don't go back. Just stay in the States and you'll be okay, is what they said. But we knew that God didn't want us to stay here. I felt in my heart that God wanted us to go back. You know, I did what I could. It was unbelievable how many tests doctors could run in 7 weeks. And I had every test imaginable. But we went back to Papua New Guinea, and Leandra actually kept reading, studying on my symptoms, and she figured it out when we were in Papua New Guinea. And as we yielded to God, as we obeyed God, God showed us what it was. But first, God wanted us to obey Him, to yield to Him, to submit to Him. Okay, look back with me at Matthew chapter 11, and I'll finish here. Look back with me at Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28, 29, and 30. I will just read this and then I'll finish. Matthew chapter 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, that's a promise from the Word of God. And there's been many, many believers that have clung to that promise, and they've seen it true. I can testify it's true in my life, and many of you can testify it's true in your life. Come to Christ, submit to Christ, and God will give you rest. Pastor.